Table Talk. Introduction. Did you know that in medieval counting houses, the precursor to the modern bank, tables were covered with a piece of checkered cloth that was used to count money for lending and borrowing? By counting the number of squares containing a stack of coins, you could very quickly calculate how much money was on the table. Ever since then, tables, or a grid of cells, have been used to store information for comparison and calculation. Much like tables, charts and graphs also organize information, but use graphical representations rather than text as tables do. While to many it may seem that charts and graphs are the same thing, there are some specific differences between them, which we will go over in more detail later. Later in the course, we'll even learn how to create an infographic using charts and graphs generated from spreadsheet data as well. So what does your pitch deck need to improve its chances of securing investment or convincing community leaders to get behind your idea? Well, if you were on the other side of the equation, what would you want to see from a budding young entrepreneur? Most likely, you would want to see that they've already started acquiring customers and that the initial reaction is a promising one. In business speak, this is called traction, which is the data measuring the speed and power with which your product attracts and retains new customers. Let's build some tables, charts, and graphs to measure language's initial traction in the marketplace. Selecting metrics. Language will ultimately offer the study of English, French, German, Japanese, Chinese, Spanish, Italian, Russian, Arabic, and Hebrew. To start with, it's only being offered for learning English, and so far has been marketed using Google AdWords and Facebook advertising in Argentina, Spain, and France. These initial markets allow language to test out their product and learn what works, what doesn't, and which marketing messages are the most effective before ramping up their marketing budget to launch the app worldwide. The first step when measuring your product's traction is to define your metrics or standards of measurement. There are dozens of relevant pieces of data available to follow the progress of your product, but not all of them will accurately paint a picture of your product's rate of adoption, or how quickly it is acquiring new users. Before we dive into selecting and presenting language's traction using the relevant metrics, here are some standard business metrics options you might want to include in your reports. Customer acquisition cost, CAC. How much money can you afford to spend on marketing? If the amount of money it costs you to acquire each customer is more than their lifetime value, you will end up losing a lot of money. For this reason, it's important to calculate your customer acquisition cost. If you have to spend $100 on advertisements to snag 10 new customers, then your CAC is $10 per customer. Customer conversion rate. Your conversion rate measures how successful you are at converting prospects into paid customers. If your targeted Facebook advertisements reach 100 people and 20 of those generally purchase your product, then your conversion rate is 20%. Now, in most markets, this would actually be quite a high conversion rate and would indicate a successful campaign. The average conversion rate for Facebook ads across all industries is 9.21%. Average revenue per user, ARPU. Average revenue per user, or ARPU, is the amount of money you get from a customer on average every month. Customer lifetime value, LTV. This is the estimated total profit that you can generate from a single customer from adoption until they churn or stop using your product. You can calculate this value by multiplying the average profit per month from a customer with the average lifetime of a customer. Churn rate. Churn rate is the percentage of customers who stop using your product every month. To calculate the churn rate, divide the number of customers lost in a month by the previous month's total customers. This is an important metric. The lower your churn rate, the longer you are retaining customers, which means the higher their customer lifetime value. A high churn rate means customers aren't staying very long, which is a big sign that your product's growth is not sustainable over the long term. Bounce rate. Bounce rate is the percentage of visitors who land on a page but leave without clicking on anything. It is good for measuring the performance of your website. Net Promoter Score, NPS. For your product to grow, your customers need to become promoters. Net Promoter Score, or NPS, uses the question, "How likely are you to recommend the product to someone?" and asks the respondents to rate it on a scale of 1 to 10. Promoters are the ones who rate it in the range of 9 to 10, and detractors in the range of 1 to 6. Subtracting the percentage of detractors from that of the promoters gives you the NPS. This is a good way of measuring the virality of your product, or how quickly it will grow via word-of-mouth recommendations. Organic versus paid traffic. Measuring traffic to your app or website from both organic and paid channels is necessary to understand how your product is growing. If your growth is largely organic, it means that your product has gone viral. This is an excellent sign of growth as it means increased revenue without increased cost and a high level of customer satisfaction. As we learn about tables, charts, and graphs, we'll add to our language pitch deck file we used in the last unit. We'll present a table packed with different metrics and then chart the most impressive ones using various charts and graphs to try and highlight the product's notable initial performance. Creating tables. To create a table in PowerPoint, click the Tables button in the Insert tab of the ribbon and select the desired number of rows and columns by moving your mouse over the grid that appears in the Insert Table drop-down menu. Alternatively, you can click the Insert Table button in the drop-down menu and set the number of rows and columns in the drop-down menu, or click the Draw Table button on PC only and draw your own grid lines from scratch. Once you've created your table, you can move it into the desired location on the slide by clicking on any edge and dragging the table into position. You can also resize your table by moving the mouse over one of the six handles, the small circles around the edges of the table, and dragging them to the desired size. PowerPoint will automatically resize your table columns and rows as you resize the table to maintain the existing ratio of cell sizes. Editing tables. Now we have our metrics captured in a table, but it needs a little editing. With your table selected, you'll see that PowerPoint adds two Table Tools tabs to the ribbon. The Design tab, Table Design tab in PowerPoint for Mac, for formatting your table's appearance, and the Layout tab, for formatting your table's structure and the alignment of its contents. The Design tab, or Table Design tab, contains four groups of tools for different functions. The Table Style Options group contains several checkboxes for including or excluding table elements, such as a header row for column names and banded rows or columns that apply alternating background colors to tables for easy viewing. The Table Styles group allows you to apply a styling to your table from a carousel of preset styles, or alternatively, customize your table's appearance as you please. When customizing a table's appearance, you can apply a background color, gradient, picture, or texture to specific table cells using the Shading button's drop-down list, or apply a border style using the Borders drop-down list. The border style and color are defined in the Pen Style, Weight, and Color inputs in the Draw Borders group of tools further along the Design tab. Finally, you can apply the Bevel effect to individual cells, or the Shadow and Reflection effects to your entire table using the Effects button's drop-down menu and submenus. In the Layout tab of the Table Tools, you can add and delete rows and columns using the tools in the Rows and Columns group. Manually set a cell's height and width. Divide selected rows and columns evenly using the Distribute Rows and Distribute Columns tools in the Cell Size group. And set the table size manually in the Table Size group. Our table's color and cell size don't need much editing, but we should align the text both vertically and horizontally so that it looks more professional. These tools are available in the Alignment group of the Layout tab, with buttons for Align Left, Center, and Align Right, as well as Align Top, Center Vertically, and Align Bottom. To apply any styling to multiple cells, simply select multiple cells by clicking on the first and last cell in the selection while holding the Shift key, or clicking and dragging with the mouse before applying the desired styling. Bring it home. In a pitch deck, you may want to include a lot of information in the form of a table, but it is often overwhelming to be presented with a wall of data, and you want investors to get your message loud and clear. This is a good investment. Once you've laid out the data as a whole, you'll need to likely field any questions that arise, and perhaps present your data in another way that visual learners may grasp better. Which of these metrics do you think are the greatest indicators of language's promising future? And how can you present those two or three metrics to investors so powerfully that they can't resist investing in your venture? Charting a path. So which metric did you think was the greatest indicator of language's potential? Take another look at the dataset and how it changes over time. Language hopes to be different from other learning applications by making it fun to learn a language. Most people have tried to learn a second or third language at one stage or another, whether for fun or some more practical application. However, the vast majority don't last very long. The team at Language thinks that if they can keep things entertaining, people will stick with the app a little longer and have a higher lifetime value, resulting in more revenue and a profitable, sustainable business. Considering all these factors, the Language launch data looks assuring. Their churn rate is very low compared to the leading competitors' customers. While competitors have a churn rate of around 80%, Language boasts a churn rate of around 22% after 5 months of operation. That means that a good chunk of their users have kept learning a language for 2 months or more, a big improvement on the 2 weeks averaged by leading competitors. How could this impressive metric be highlighted to an investor? A powerful way of comparing different pieces of information is in a chart, as it allows for visual comparisons between multiple sets of data. Creating charts. To create a chart in PowerPoint, click the Chart button in the Illustrations group of the Insert tab. This produces a pop-up or a drop-down list in PowerPoint for Mac, offering a number of different data items that can be added to your PowerPoint presentation. These range from charts to graphs, pie charts, radars, waterfall diagrams, and more. We'll be adding a simple chart consisting of multiple columns to compare our churn rate to that of leading competitors. There are multiple formats offered for the column charts, each presenting your data differently. Adding data. When you add a chart to your presentation, PowerPoint populates it with some dummy data, or meaningless data that is used as a placeholder for your data. In essence, Excel is really a database, or a collection of organized data that is accessed electronically. Including this tool in the Microsoft suite of products helps users harness robust data features inside various programs. In our example here, this dummy data is populated in an Excel chart that is generated by PowerPoint. This data is dynamically linked to your new column chart, and modifying the data will modify your chart. By changing the data in the new Excel chart, we can use our chart to visually represent the language churn rate compared to two leading competitors. Look how much more powerful it is to view the churn rate next to those of competitors than as a column of data in a table. Chart elements. The template we used for our chart included a number of elements to make it easy to understand, including labeling the axes of our chart, or the two edges along the left and bottom of the chart. When your chart is selected, you'll see a button with a plus sign on it, PC only, that allows you to hide or show a number of elements as part of your chart. Scroll through the slideshow to see our churn rate chart with different chart elements shown. Axes. Axes are fixed horizontal and vertical lines used in the measurement of column values in a chart or graph. Axes titles. Titles for the horizontal and vertical axes. Chart title. A title above the chart describing its purpose. Data labels. List numeric values above each column for precision and easy reading of data. Data table. Lists the precise values of each column in a table below the chart or graph. Error bars. Symbols that look like a sideways capital H that allow you to see the margins of error and standard deviations at a glance. Grid lines. Displays the lines that demarcate each interval of values in the vertical or horizontal axes, in this case, the vertical axis. Legend. Describes each of the parts that help make up a chart. Trend line. A line showing the trends in value of a specific piece of data over time. Many of the elements available in the pop-out checkbox also have multiple sub-options that can be accessed by clicking the arrow that appears following the item. In addition, you can access all of these options from the Add Chart Element button in the Chart Layouts group of the Design tab, or Chart Design tab on Mac, that appears in the ribbon when your table is selected. If you are in a rush and happy to rely on PowerPoint's preset combinations of chart elements, you can select one from the Quick Layout drop-down menu, also found in the Chart Layouts group of the Design tab. If you noticed, many of the chart elements also mention axes, the horizontal or vertical axis. This refers to the horizontal line at the bottom of the graph, X or horizontal axis, and the vertical line at the left of the graph, the Y or vertical axis. The X and Y axes are typically used to express different kinds of variables you are measuring in your data or metrics. X-axis. Generally, the X-axis displays the independent variable, or the thing you're measuring that isn't affected by other things you're measuring. For our purposes, the X-axis contains the independent variable of time, by plotting months in succession. No matter what metrics we measure, we cannot change time, so that is an independent variable. Y-axis. In contrast to the X-axis's independent variable, the Y-axis tracks the dependent variable. This is the thing that we expect to change as the X-axis, time, moves along. Most of our metrics would appear along the Y-axis. Chart style. Once you've selected the elements you want to include in your chart, don't forget to stylize it. Your charts should match the look, feel, and color scheme of your presentation. You can select different styles and colors from the Chart Styles group of the Design tab, or by clicking on the Chart Styles button that appears next to your chart when selected. It's the one with the paintbrush icon, and selecting a color or style from the associated pop-out menu. There are many, many other formatting options available for your PowerPoint charts, and you can play around by right-clicking on the different elements in your table and selecting the format options to open a side pane with additional settings for each chart element. You can also convert your chart into a different type of chart, graph, or diagram using the Change Chart Type button in the Design tab, or the Chart Design tab on Mac when your chart is selected, or in the pop-up menu that appears when you right-click on your chart. Here's our final churn rate table, including axis titles, a legend, and an appropriate color scheme to match the rest of our language pitch deck. Creating graphs. Tables and charts will speak to your audience in a compelling way, and as we've noted, variety is one way to keep your audience even more engaged in presentations. Charts can be powerful and refreshing, but use them too often and they can lose their effectiveness. Charts also have their limitations. They are often excellent for making comparisons, but not necessarily ideal for showing change over time. One subset of charts, called a line chart or graph, can be useful when you want to map change of a single metric, or even a couple metrics, over time. These graphs are a powerful way of visually representing the path of a metric over time by plotting the intersect of two values on a timeline and connecting the dots. As mentioned, graphs are usually considered a subset of charts in most fields, and PowerPoint actually groups graphs in with chart functionalities and menus, so much of this will look familiar to you. The main difference visually between charts and graphs is that charts use filled-in shapes to convey information, while graphs typically use lines. Take a look at our metrics again. We've already used a chart to highlight language's low churn rate. But which area of growth do you think would be communicated well in the form of a graph? The conversion rate is one interesting metric that seems to be improving over time as the language product is refined, and that's an encouraging sign of growth. But one of the most powerful engines of growth is the virality of a product, or how easily it spreads via word of mouth. Since viral growth is free, having a viral product reduces marketing costs, thereby increasing profits and allowing you to expand your business more aggressively by investing those profits in new products and markets. It also means that people like your product, so much so that they are recommending it to their friends. Surely that's a sign that you're onto something, and this kind of growth is music to an investor's ear. We'll be creating a graph in our pitch deck to highlight Language's impressive growth in organic traffic over time. Creating a graph. We can create a graph in the same way as we created a chart, by clicking the Chart button in the Illustrations group of the Insert tab. However, instead of selecting a chart to add to your presentation, simply select the graph that best meets your needs. As we mentioned before, graphs are usually considered a subset of charts, but PowerPoint groups the two features together in their Charts menu. When looking for graphs, remember to focus on those choices that use lines and can measure change over time instead of those charts that use shapes and track comparisons between measurements. Once you've inserted a graph into your document, you can apply all the tricks you already learned when creating a chart. In our graph of language organic traffic, we've removed the legend by deselecting it in the Chart Elements drop-down menu, as we are only tracking one variable. We've also chosen a table style that uses vertical lines to clearly connote the division of months, instead of horizontal grid lines. And lastly, we formatted the graph line to make it more appealing and consistent with our slideshow's design by selecting the graph and editing its color and effects in the Format Data Series side pane. The best graph ever. Do you think an investor will be happy with this growth? The graph that famously makes investors' eyes widen with excitement is the hockey stick graph. An example of hockey stick growth is the incredible success of Groupon, Inc., who has the distinction of being the fastest growing company in business history. It took Groupon only 2.5 years to achieve $1 billion in sales after they were founded. To put things in perspective, that's half the time it took Amazon and Google to achieve the same size. So how did the growth look in a graph of total sales? In 2008, Groupon made only $100,000 in sales, and then $14.5 million in 2009. This is the blade part of the hockey stick toward the bottom left corner of the graph. In 2010, the company had sales of $313 million, representing the upward bend or inflection point of the stick. Then in 2011, Groupon generated $1.6 billion in sales. Do you think language can replicate this swift pace of business growth? There are many different types of charts and graphs available in PowerPoint. We've explored the most common visual representations of your data by going in depth into the classic chart and graph formats, but it's important to keep things varied. Even charts and graphs can get boring if you use them too often. Below, you can learn about some of the other options available to you as you keep your presentations fresh and creative. Pie. Pie charts show the size of items relative to one another as a share of a pie, or whole circle. The data points in a pie chart are shown as a percentage of the whole pie. A pie chart is divided into slices to illustrate the proportion of each data point. Bar. Bar charts are useful for highlighting comparisons between individual items. Bar charts generally arrange their bars vertically, with the value of each data point measured along the horizontal axis. Bar charts represent categorical data with bars comparable to the height of the data they represent. Area. Area charts can be used to plot change over time and draw attention to the total value across a trend. Area charts demonstrate a time series relationship as well as representing volume. XY scatter. A scatter chart has both axes we discussed earlier, the horizontal, X, and a vertical, Y, axis. The values of data points on each axis are combined into single data points that can be plotted on a chart. This can help you see if your results, for example, in a scientific study, are all clustering around a specific range of values or spread out evenly. It's useful for visually representing complex data. An XY scatter chart shows the relationship between two sets of data. Map. You can use a map chart to compare values and show categories across geographical regions. The color for each region indicates how high its values are compared to other regions. For example, if sales in South America are higher than sales in Europe, those regions will be colored appropriately so a viewer can quickly understand the market distribution. A map chart is a representation of the land and sea area that compares values and characteristics compared to other regions. Stock. As the name implies, stock charts can show fluctuations in stock prices. You've probably seen them on television. A stock chart represents a series of prices over time. Surface. A surface chart is a topographic map where colors and patterns indicate areas that are in the same range of values. In other words, a surface map represents your data as a ground surface, with hills and valleys showing high and low values. Surface charts are useful for finding the optimal combination between sets of data. Radar. Data that's arranged in columns or rows on a worksheet can be plotted in a radar chart. Radar charts compare the combined values of several data series and are useful for finding trends in performance data. Radar charts are useful for comparing similarities or seeing outliers among data points. Tree map. A tree map chart provides a hierarchical view of your data and makes it easy to spot patterns, such as which items are a store's best sellers. The tree branches are represented by rectangles, and each sub-branch is shown as a smaller rectangle.
Tree map charts are used to represent hierarchical data in a structure similar to that of a tree.
Sunburst. The sunburst chart is ideal for displaying hierarchical data. Each level of the hierarchy is represented by one ring or circle, with the innermost circle as the top of the hierarchy. A sunburst chart with multiple levels of categories shows how the outer rings relate to the inner rings, which lets you see how each ring is broken into its contributing pieces.
The rings of a sunburst chart are sliced to represent each category node of data.
Histogram. Data plotted in a histogram chart shows the frequencies within a distribution. Each column of the chart is called a bin, which can be changed to further analyze your data.
Each column or bin in a histogram chart represents a range of data.
Box and whisker. A box and whisker chart shows distribution of data into four quartiles, or boxes. The boxes may have lines extending vertically called whiskers. Anything inside those whiskers is considered the mean, or common result, and anything outside those whiskers is considered an outlier.
A box and whisker chart visually displays groups of data through their quartiles.
Waterfall. This kind of chart illustrates how positive or negative values in a data series contribute to the total, such as how income and expenses result in a net balance in your bank account.
A waterfall chart is useful to quickly visualize positive and negative values which impact the total value.
Funnel. Funnel charts show values across multiple stages in a process. Typically, the values decrease gradually, allowing the bars to resemble a funnel.
Funnel charts are often used to represent the different stages in a sales process.
Combo. Combo charts combine two or more chart types to make the data easy to understand, especially when the data is widely varied. For example, you could combine a column chart with a line chart to show the number of homes sold between January and June in a column chart, and the average sales price by month in an overlaying line chart.
A combo chart combines two or more different kinds of charts in a single chart.
As you can see, whatever your chart and graph needs, PowerPoint has you covered. You're ready for your investor pitch, but are you ready for what comes next? Advanced tables. Let's say your tables and charts did the trick and you received the investment you are seeking. Do be aware, though, that investments often come with strings attached. You'll have to provide monthly reports on the latest metrics to ensure the investors are happy and get their feedback and input. Now that they're on board, they want you to succeed and often can offer business connections and sagely input, so your presentations from this point forward will be mutually beneficial. However, recreating complex tables, charts, and graphs on a monthly or even weekly basis can be quite time-consuming. With the busy schedule of an entrepreneur, who has time for such repetitive tasks? Luckily, PowerPoint has a solution for this challenge. We already have a presentation and know what metrics the investors need to see. So how can we streamline this process to dynamically update your presentation with the latest figures without lifting a finger? PowerPoint allows us to link a table, chart, or graph to a real Excel spreadsheet so that they are automatically updated as new data is entered into the corresponding spreadsheet. Importing and linking Excel data. You can import an existing Excel table or a section of one into your PowerPoint presentations, so there's no need to create a table from scratch as we did earlier. To import an existing Excel table or worksheet, click on the Object button, one of the small symbols on the right in the text group of the Insert tab. A pop-up window will offer you the option to create a new object, such as an Excel table, to insert onto your slide, or to import an existing file. Make sure the Create from File Radio button is selected on the left of the pop-up, and then click on the Browse button, or From File button, on Mac, to select the file you would like to import, and make sure the Link checkbox is selected, on PC only. This will import an entire table that is linked to the original file into your presentation. Any changes to that Excel worksheet will be automatically updated in your PowerPoint slide without even the push of a button. If you don't want to import and link an entire Excel spreadsheet, but only a section of one, then you should copy and paste the relevant Excel data into your presentation as follows. 1. Open the table in Excel and open the saved workbook with the data you want to insert and link to. 2. Drag over the area of data you want to link to in PowerPoint, and on the Home tab, click the Copy button. 3. In PowerPoint, click the slide where you want to paste the copied worksheet data. 4. On the Home tab, click the arrow below Paste and select Paste Special. 5. In the Paste Special box, click Paste Link, and then under As, select Microsoft Excel Worksheet Object. This will paste the selected section of your Excel table into your PowerPoint presentation, and just as before, the cells will be automatically updated if any changes are made in Excel. Inserting and linking an Excel chart. To import some of the sophisticated charts and graphs that we explored earlier, you can create a chart in Excel and then simply copy and paste it into your presentation to create a linked chart that is dynamically updated with the click of a button. Let's walk through the process step by step.
Step 1. Open the workbook.
Open the Excel workbook that has the previously created chart that you want to add to your PowerPoint presentation.
Step 2. Select the chart.
Select the chart by clicking on it within the Excel document.
Step 3. Copy.
Still in Excel, on the Home tab in the Clipboard group, click Copy or press Ctrl-C.
Step 4. Open PowerPoint.
Open the PowerPoint presentation to the slide where you would like to embed your Excel chart.
Step 5. Paste your chart.
On the Home tab in the Clipboard group, click the arrow below Paste or to its right on Mac, and then select Keep Source Formatting and Link Data if you want the chart to keep its look and appearance from the Excel file, or use Destination Theme and Link Data if you want the chart to use the look and appearance of the PowerPoint presentation. Caution: if you were to subsequently move the Excel file to another folder, that would break the link between the chart in the PowerPoint presentation and the data in the Excel workbook.
Now that you have a linked chart in your presentation, you can easily update the data presented in your slideshow. Simply select the chart on your slide, and in the Data group of the Chart Tools Design tab, click Refresh Data.
Sorting and manipulating data. Whether you decide to import your tables and charts from Excel or create them right in PowerPoint, you can utilize Excel's sorting functions to organize your data, as well as formulas and functions to calculate new insights for your presentation. To sort data in your presentation, select the table or chart you would like to sort, click the bottom part of the Edit Data button in the Data group of the Chart Design tab, and select the Edit Data in Excel option. This is a standalone button in PowerPoint for Mac. This will open your dataset in Excel, allowing you to use all the powerful tools offered by Excel. Like PowerPoint, Excel uses a ribbon to organize its many tools and functions. There you can find the Sort tool in the Sort and Filter group of the Data tab. Clicking the Sort button will bring a pop-up that allows you to select which column you would like to sort your table by. What aspect of the column you want to use for sorting, you can sort by its actual value or other aspects such as color, and what order you want to sort in, whether it be from smallest to largest or largest to smallest. Of course, sorting will help you arrange your data, but it won't run any calculations to provide new insights into your data. That's where Excel's formulas and functions come in handy. In Excel, a formula is an expression that operates on values in a range of cells or a cell. For example, equals A1 plus A2 plus A3, which finds the sum of the range of values from cell A1 to cell A3. Functions are predefined formulas in Excel. A full exploration of these powerful features of Excel deserve their own course entirely, but here is an example where we calculate the average of our organic traffic performance over the initial months of launch. If you know your formulas by heart, you can enter them in the cell in your Excel spreadsheet where you would like the answer to populate. Alternatively, immediately above the spreadsheet cells is a formula bar in which you can enter in your formulas and a formula button marked by an FX icon, which can also be found in the Formula tab of the ribbon. Clicking the Formula button presents you with Excel's wizard for selecting from a number of functions and entering the required data for processing. PowerPoint Online. We've explored some pretty powerful functionality in PowerPoint's tables and charts and their integration with Excel. How does PowerPoint Online compare to the desktop version when it comes to tables and charts? When it comes to tables, PowerPoint Online offers almost the full functionality of the PowerPoint desktop application. You can create, edit, and format tables with preset designs or your own. There is no integration with Excel available on the online version, though, so dynamic updates won't automatically integrate over to PowerPoint as data is changed. However, in the Office Add-ins online store, accessible from the Insert tab, you can find some impressive plugins that talented engineers have created to sync PowerPoint Online tabs with an Excel spreadsheet. You can also find some promising add-ons for creating charts and graphs in your PowerPoint Online presentation, but the charts functionality is not available in the standard version of PowerPoint Online. Knowledge check. Test your knowledge of new information by answering these questions, and then review the feedback. Question 1. What is a powerful way for a website to show that, thanks to a number of innovations the company has added over the last several months, they have an unusually high conversion rate of 80%, when the industry average is closer to 20%? Option 1. Present the company's conversion rate in a table, showing that it is higher than competitors. A table would show that the website is performing well, but it's not the best way to communicate that fact to an audience. Option 2. Present the number in a graph, showing how the number has grown over the last year. Showing growth can help a pitch deck, but in this case, that growth on its own is less informative than some way of showing the end numbers are high on their own. For example, going from 1% to 10% would sound impressive, but not if the industry average is 20%. Option 3. Present the number in a bar chart, comparing the company to major competitors. This would provide a strong visual indicator of how much higher the website's conversion rate is when set against other similar businesses, helping illustrate its unique strengths. Option 4. Show the number in a table, along with the other metrics the company scores well in. This sort of table is useful in a pitch deck, but it's not a great way to emphasize any particular metric. How could you indicate that your latest changes are truly innovative and your company is breaking new ground? Question 2. Cassie has imported a table into PowerPoint. What must she refrain from doing if she wants the PowerPoint table to work properly and reflect accurate data? Option 1. Edit the original table without manually changing the PowerPoint slide as well. PowerPoint will automatically update changes to an important table as long as the link is maintained. Option 2. Rename the folder that holds the spreadsheet file. Since PowerPoint maintains the import with a link to the original file, altering the file path by moving the file or renaming the file would prevent the import from working properly. Option 3. Saving a second version of the PowerPoint file. Cassie can create as many copies of the PowerPoint file as she likes. They will all be properly linked to the original spreadsheet. Option 4. Creating copies of the original spreadsheet file. On its own, copying the original spreadsheet shouldn't have any effect on the PowerPoint file. Question 3. Which type of chart should a scientist who works with large numbers of variables use when reporting about an experiment on how an independent variable being changed affects a dependent variable? Option 1. XY scatter chart. Scatter charts are useful for showing complex data, like many scientists work with. Option 2. Pie chart. Pie charts aren't great for comparing variables and tend to represent simple concepts. Option 3. Stock charts. Stock charts are used to represent changes in the stock exchange and aren't used often in scientific reports. Option 4. Tree man charts. Tree man charts make it easy to spot patterns, but they aren't as good for comparing dependent and independent variables as other chart options. Which tool is best for a scientist? Conclusion. The truth is, investors are deciding whether to invest in you, not your idea. Whether this particular idea works out or not, they want to find someone insightful, creative, and energetic who can create something new and keep on moving forward despite the inevitable challenges that will come your way. Having a beautiful presentation is always important, but it will only get you so far. Incorporating tables, charts, and graphs into your presentations shows off just how insightful you are as an entrepreneur. With a solid plan based on firm data and a little help from PowerPoint, there's no limit to where you could go. Next up, we'll explore in even more depth the resources PowerPoint offers for maximizing your creativity.